Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
At the end of June, we gave a message called Halftime. The idea behind the message is that 6 months of the year are already gone, and we posed the question, now what? Then we said that there was a strategy that we could employ, and that was to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, because when we do that, it says, all these things will be given to us as well. Well, now that we're in the seventh month of the year, it's pretty much the same thing. In fact, on this third week of July, a recent article from the Straits Times says, dated July 16, 2020, fairly recently, cities, nations return to lockdown as COVID-19 cases surge. I have a question for you today. Tired of being locked down? It's interesting that people say that the physical manifestations we see are nothing more than a manifestation of a spiritual reality. There is such a thing as a physical lockdown, and there is also such a thing as a spiritual lockdown. A spiritual lockdown is very similar. It's frustrating. You don't feel free. The question is, how does one get locked down spiritually? Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 to 22 tells us, "For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture has locked up," there's the lockdown, "everything under the control of sin." In other words, there is a sin factor that controls our spirits that causes us to be locked down. The history of sin begins in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Interestingly, in Genesis 2, verse 16, it says, "The Lord commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden.'" This is particularly interesting because this is the first commandment ever given in the entire Bible. And it's not, "Don't do this." It is, "You are free." Not just free, but free to eat. Not just to eat, but from any tree in the garden. That is a lavish freedom that God gave Adam and Eve. But there was one prohibition. He said, "All of these you can eat, but for one tree that you must not eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die." The next thing that happens is a creature named Satan comes along and tempts them and causes them to do exactly what God told them not to do. Adam and Eve then did the wrong thing. And as they did that, they experienced what we now know as unrighteousness. Some people say that there is no such thing as unrighteousness, that righteousness is relative to what people or culture say are right. The problem with that reasoning is there's such a thing as a universal moral law. Some people say there is no such thing until you take their wallet and they realize stealing is universally a moral law against a moral law, whatever the culture may be. Until you tell them a lie and say, "I'm sorry I took your money." And they realize that all of a sudden there is such a thing as a moral law. And until you kill their dog or their cat or their relative, then you realize universal laws, unrighteousness, doing the wrong thing is real. Down in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, it continues and says, "After they did the unrighteous act, their eyes were opened." In other words, what happened was they did the wrong thing and there was unrighteousness and their eyes were opened, which is guilt. Guilt is with sense that you feel that you did something wrong. That's what happens when you do something wrong. Now, it says further in verse 7, not only were their eyes opened, they realized they were naked, which is the third thing that happens when we do things this wrong way. Unrighteousness leads to guilt, and they realize they were naked. Previously, they were naked and unashamed, but now they had shame. The process of unrighteousness or sin is what causes us to be locked down in our spirits. Finally, in verse 7, it says, not only were their eyes opened, they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. It is ironical that they would try to cover themselves with fig leaves because you can't really cover yourself with the things that you make for yourself. This is what is known as self-righteousness. when we think we can do good things to cover up for our unrighteousness, our guilt, our shame, and our self-righteousness. What happens next in Genesis chapter 3 is found in verse 8. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Notice, God was not angry. He was not mad. He was simply walking in the garden. And notice it says, in the cool of the day. If there's anything you don't know about God, he is cool. Verse 8, the second half says, now notice what happens. They hid from the Lord God. Why would anybody hide when all they heard was somebody walking, coming close to them? When you have unrighteousness. We hide when we have guilt. We hide when we have shame. And finally, we cover up with our own self-righteousness. Adam and Eve thought they were just physically locked down somewhere in their house in Eden, not realizing they were really in a cage. And that cage is the cage of condemnation. The cage of condemnation is hard to get out from because people don't even realize it's there. But it starts with a wall of unrighteousness that produces guilt, that produces shame, and any attempt of self-righteousness is ineffective to get you out of that cage. Now, here's where the story continues. In verse 9, the Lord God called to the man, and he wasn't angry. He simply asked the question, "Where are you?" Adam admitted to being in the cage. Down in verse 10, he says, he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and now I'm inside this cage, and I'm afraid." Fear is the first thing you find inside that cage. "Because I was naked." Insecurity is the second thing you find in that cage. "And so I hid in this cage," which is lies. The cage was actually man-made. God didn't make the cage. He made the cage. Cover-up becomes the order of the day. And this is what happens inside the cage of condemnation. It's a rigmarole. It's a treadmill of life that is rooted in fear, insecurity, and cover-up or lies. Imagine managing your life every day like this. It is worse than a physical lockdown because a spiritual manifestation and a physical manifestation are really no different. The cage of condemnation can only be fixed by the word called righteousness. When righteousness comes, you eliminate guilt. When righteousness and guilt is removed, unrighteousness and guilt is removed, shame is removed. And when all of these are removed, there is no need for self-righteousness, because I have been made righteous in Christ. That's the secret to getting out of the cage. Now, how do I get this righteousness? Well, we know that we cannot produce this righteousness on our own. This righteousness is actually imparted to us. Back in Galatians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "For if a law had been given that could impart life," notice, he was saying, there is no moral law, there is no universal law there that can give you life. Righteousness could come by law. But the reality is, that's not enough. It takes something to be imparted to us. The righteousness we speak of was imparted to us is actually a gift. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, "For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" That is powerful. This righteousness is not something we earn. It is something that is given to us as a gift. It's free. More than that, it's priceless. It is something that we cannot buy on our own, and thus, it's something that we cannot earn. The gift of righteousness is an imparted gift. But what makes the gift special, or this impartation special, is more than just a physical gift, it's a person. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says, "How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" We've been given such a special gift because it's a person. Jesus came to earth for you and for me to give his life to you and to me so he can live out the powerful life, the righteous life in us. He can live his life in us. Isn't that interesting? that it is not just a gift that was given arbitrarily and left alone. It is a person that was given to us so special that he decided to take residence in our own lives. Which brings us to the third part of impartation. It is real. Some people mistakenly believe that our righteousness is like a pair of sunglasses that God wears, that when he wears it, he sees Jesus, and the righteousness is only through these rose-colored glasses. This is not true. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible actually says God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the very righteousness of God. When the question then is, people say, if that's true, why do I still keep sinning? And why do I feel condemned when I sin? The reason for that, those things are actually the very indicators that you have righteousness inside of you growing. It would be like somebody who had a fever because they had a virus or a bacteria that got into his system. Like sin, when you have a temperature, what that tells you is that your nature, your body is fighting that virus and that bacteria the same way that when you feel unrighteousness and guilt and condemnation and your system, your spirit is reacting to that, what that says is you are now have received the gift of righteousness as a person in Christ and is real to you. That's why your system is fighting. Now, what happens when you have an imparted righteousness is it needs to be internalized. When something is internalized, it takes on a different meaning. It now just doesn't become a gift. It's not just the person of Jesus living inside of me. It's not just very real. It becomes a new nature. It's a new nature that I have in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone, that's a powerful word right there. Those two words says, you, me, anyone. Anyone who acknowledges their unrighteousness, their sinful nature, and decides to be in Christ, he's a new or she's a new species, a new creation, a different being, not of the old self. Similar point of view here would be a caterpillar. Caterpillar is ugly. It's itchy. It can't fly. But through a process of sanctification, a caterpillar gradually takes on a different nature. That nature begins to grow. That person, that reality, and that nature begins to change them on the inside. And one day, they're no longer the same lockdown sinner they used to be, but literally a butterfly that's unrecognizable. This is the power of the truth of righteousness in Christ Jesus. It changes us on the inside and gives us a new nature. That new nature comes with a blessing, a massive big blessing that God gives us. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, praise be to the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. That is powerful. Every spiritual blessing you can imagine has been given to us together with his nature. When I think about my life and the blessing that Jesus has become to me, it has changed me simply because I am in Christ. Nothing to do with me, nothing to do with my abilities, and that simple truth, every day of your life manifesting as you internalize the truth of who Jesus is powerful. It's a new nature. It's a big blessing, but more importantly, it is sufficient. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, for in Christ, all fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Jesus is the fullness of all of the deity of heaven. And in Christ, when we are in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Don't ever believe the lie that there's something short in you. Don't ever believe the lie that you're still impatient. Maybe you are, but you're changing on the inside. And one day you will fully become more and more like Jesus. Maybe you're not as loving, but the fullness of Christ in you will one day manifest in a fullness of a life lived in Christ as you internalize the truth of what God has given you. Your righteousness is the only way out of the cage of condemnation. To remember that it's been imparted. I can't earn it. It's a gift. I can't buy it. It's given to me free. It's a new person who lives inside of me. It's very real. It's internalized into a new nature. It's a blessing of a massive blessing for me, and it's sufficient. The result is my identity has changed. The question is, how do I practically do this every day? And the answer is back to the cage of condemnation. The cage is bounded by unrighteousness. Unrighteousness will create guilt, and guilt is hard to remove, folks. I lived through that for years. I'm 63 now, and there are days when guilt still comes of past, present, and future sins. And then there's shame, and then there's self-righteousness. And as we've said, inside that cage is the daily management of our fears, our insecurities, our lies, and our cover-up. There is no way out. And that's pretty much life, what life is, lockdown, COVID or no COVID. The only way out is to proclaim Jesus as our Savior. When we proclaim Jesus Christ as our Savior over our situation, what happens is our unrighteousness becomes the righteousness of God. When we become righteous in God, our guilt disappears. Our shame falls off. When that happens, fear is removed from us. Insecurity is removed from us. There is no need to cover up, and there is no need to be self-righteous. The proclamation of Jesus is that, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When we are in Christ, internalized, there's no one to condemn us because Jesus died for our sins, paid all our debts, and we're free to be able to live the righteous life that was ordained for us. To proclaim Christ is the secret. Proclaim Christ not once, not twice, but to proclaim Christ every day of our lives. For some of you who have never done that, I only have one question today. Would you like to proclaim Christ as your Lord and Savior today? I want to invite you. This is a moment to do that. You can do it quietly wherever you are and say, Jesus, I just want you to be my righteousness. I want you to save me, to bring me to who I truly should be and who I can be. As we close this moment on praying and meditating, rather, we enter the realms of proclaiming the gospel. I want to read a verse for you out of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where it says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is a good confession. To remember that I have been crucified with Jesus, I no longer live. Christ lives in me, and the life that I live now in this physical body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Communion is one of the ways to do that. When we take the bread and we take the cup, they're reminders for us of what Jesus did for us. His body was broken for us, and his blood was shed for us so that our sins may be forgiven and that we can be made righteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, it says, as often as you do it. In other words, do it as often as you can. Whether you're having breakfast or having lunch or having dinner, remember, his body was broken and his blood was shed. Because what you're doing when you do that is you proclaim. You're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes, which means you've been made righteous. And every time you know your righteousness in Christ, you will walk free. Let me close this segment with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for imparting life to me, for giving me the gift of righteousness, for giving me your very own life. Today I proclaim that what you have done for me, and because of that, I am a new creation in you, through you, for you, unrighteousness, guilt, shame, self-righteousness, fear, insecurity, and cover-up is gone. I have a new life, a new beginning, a new attitude, a new destiny awaits me every day. Cause me to remember all that you have done for me as I proclaim your love for me every single day of my life. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.